is here on the Super Celebrity Hotline, Dr. J. You know him, you love him from CNBC, from the, you hear him on Bill and Wendy, you hear him on that noon business lunch thing.
He's everywhere. He's big time.
Used to hear him on the radio show The Old Place, mm-hmm. and since then, the man is, he's got a new book out, he's got 22 Rules of Investing, he and his brother did that, they got their own company now, the Nigerian, what do you call it, Nigerian Group, what do you call it, John?
Nigerian Family Office, guys.
Nigerian?
Thank you, Ro, thanks, Anna, great to be with you guys again.
Nigerian Family Office, that sounds like a medical practice.
A catchy ring to it, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's got something. Yeah, I'd go, all right, it's got something.
Come up with that?
Yeah.
Yeah, really. We paid somebody millions for that one, Anna, just to come up with that.
Yeah. Wow.
I like it.
Yep.
You know?
All right, so let's talk about...
Your name is a brand, so it's good.
It's true. Yes. Mm-hmm. All right, well, I want to talk about the Boeing thing first. There's a number of things we have to talk about here, but the president-elect goes to Twitter, and then Boeing takes a little pooper on the stock price early, makes a rebound. But, I mean, is this something that the market has to get used to?
I would say yes. I don't think he's going to change anything about what made him what he is right now, really, Ro and Anna, and that is that he has a direct connection with as many people, and apparently like 16 or 17 million follow him on Twitter, and virtually everybody in the news follows him on Twitter, because unlike most politicians, he actually says things on there. He's not just posting up, oh, press conference today at 12:45. So it's definitely on my Twitter follow list. And I think I might have been one of the first people to tweet him this morning as soon as he put out that Boeing news.
And what did you think when you initially saw it? I mean,
yeah, what did you tweet him?
Did it shock you a little bit? Does he cancel the order?
Well, yeah. And first of all, he's not the president yet. He's the president-elect, as you guys both know. So he doesn't cancel the order, but he's saying basically he's cited the $4 billion cost, which shocked everyone who read it, and then said, you know, this is way out of control. We got to cancel the order. And he's getting a conversation started, which is what this guy does, is he both can be a bit of a bully, and he does get conversation started with his Twitter, and he negotiates with his Twitter. And you know, in one example today, we have the Boeing, and in another, we have SoftBank. You know, the head of SoftBank came over and basically said, I'll commit $50 billion to create 50,000 new jobs in America.
Now, this is a Japanese bank.
Yep, this is, a Japanese bank that came over and met with Mr. Trump apparently either yesterday or today, I forget which, but then made the statement that, hey, I'm after speaking with him, I am a big investor in Sprint, which is a U.S.-based telecom, of course, and I'm willing to commit $50 billion to putting jobs here in America because I think it's going to serve us well. I think Boeing overall, they got tarred a little bit with Mr. Trump's post because there's an awful lot that goes into this development of this plane. But there probably is a lot of waste between the three of us, guys. I mean, $4 billion, I know this is two aircraft, and they're not going to be delivered until 2024.
Right. Well, it's actually three aircraft. It's
okay,
two. It's two aircraft. Air Force One, but it's also a missile system, anti-missile system. It's there's a new communication system, stuff that is going to be integrated across other platforms for the military. So
right.
it
and
is
stuff that will be like any military-style operation, as you know better than anybody, Ro. Because I think you've told me this before, by the time something gets from planning stages to building stages, it's already antiquated. And so even though it's great to have all this great high-tech gadgetry on this plane, it doesn't mean it's never going to get shot down. It's certainly not stealth technology because you can't have a target that big that is stealth, basically. Because stealth doesn't just absorb, it's how the angles and so forth are
right.
So that it deflects rather than...
but you could move the president on a stealth aircraft if you wanted to, but you could make it smaller.
Yeah.
There's a way to do that.
Smaller aircraft.
But the point is...
Air Force One.
Not the current Air Force One. And because it lands in foreign nations, you know, the stealth aircraft in the United States, as a point of...
They don't land anywhere else.
They don't land anywhere else, but at secured American air bases, or here, like the big aircraft, they fly their mission anywhere in the world. They leave Missouri and they come back to Whiteman, Missouri. So there's other and the guys sleep on folding chairs. It's a crazy thing. But there are there are some realities here to what this kind of a program is. I don't even have a problem with the idea that he wants to start a conversation about government waste and inefficiency.
Right,
and
who would argue with that? I think it's a great point. It's just the way he did it. Right?
Well, it's the way he did it, and it also comes from a place of wanting to, you know, get into the conversation before he knows all the facts. And that has happened a lot. I mean, it start with Barack Obama being from Kenya, right? And then work your way all the way to this.
Right.
He'll start something that doesn't necessarily end up. And why would you mess? I mean, Boeing, as far as I'm concerned, is a good guy. Boeing is a company they've gotten ticketed by the government before. There was some they screwed themselves out of the deal for the mid-air refueling tanker, which is a gigantic contract years ago, mm-hmm. by trying to fix the
right,
deal.
And
so they've had those sorts of things, but we're down to one single large aircraft manufacturer in America. Mm-hmm. And so the thing is that there aren't really competing companies, and the economy isn't encouraging that. So this is what we are stuck with, and we need to, you know, I think it's the President of the United States, and I'm going to call him that at the moment, because, you know, effectively what he's doing now has the authority of the presidency of the United States, is you know, should be respectful of that longstanding interrelationship between that company. I mean, he's flying a Boeing plane right now. He flies a 757. I mean, be cool, man. That's all I'm saying.
Right.
As you know, he bought Boeing when it dipped a couple years ago. He famously tweeted out back then, "I'm buying Boeing. It's way too cheap," when they had a misstep with the 787.
Well, let's just stop at that for a second.
Okay.
See, we talk about he can move a market with a tweet, which he did today.
Yep.
When you do that, I mean, there are people who will make a lot of money on that move, right? Because Boeing ended up being flat today.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it did.
Right? After taking the dip in the morning.
Right. Mm-hmm. So are the traders all going to follow his Twitter right now to make sure? Because wouldn't people be playing that?
Yeah, I think you're foolish not to, Anna, because there's no doubt that, again, this guy is not just about a press conference and letting you know what his golf score was or anything else.
Well, he lets us know that too, which
I
I'm
think
not interested.
Want to follow this guy,
right? I guess the other question is what impact this has on corporate executives, because there's a story today about how the Chicago Tribune posted a story initially this morning with a Boeing executive with some critical things to say about Donald Trump and his expectations going forward. And knowing what we know about Donald Trump and that he does scan the news and often responds on Twitter after reports appear, it feels to me as if our executive is going to be, you know, less likely to be critical of him in the media because of this kind of reaction. Is this setting some kind of a tone in that way?
It certainly could. I'm not encouraging that, but it certainly could. But I'm just being a realist and saying that I believe that Mr. Trump will do things like he did that now people are giving him credit for. And quite frankly, lots of people are giving him credit for the Boeing tweet as well, because of the Congressional Budget Office actually put out a study that they tried to quash about the $125 billion in overruns at the Pentagon last year. And that's a real number, and it's certainly a lot more than the $4 billion we're talking about here on a project for three airplanes through 2024.
Here's my problem when they start talking about overruns. Here's a guy who wants to spend trillions potentially on, and that's with a T, on infrastructure. When the government lets contracts, there's waste, fraud, and mismanagement, and there are overruns. It just happens. It's a part. It's anywhere from 10% to 25% of the cost of admission in these things. And there should be a better way of tracking it. And I hope that they do. And that it's not inefficiently, that kind of money isn't inefficiently run. However, when they talk about one guy's overrun is another congressman's pork barrel project for his district.
Absolutely.
And so this is like it's all about the political framing of the expenditure. And that to me, John Najarian, mm-hmm. Dr. J.
Yes, sir.
At John Najarian. J-O-N, by the way, in case everybody's wondering.
Is there a book plug we could do here, too?
New
no book plug.
The 22 Rules of Investing. I'll do it for him. There just seems to me that everybody can, there's enough meat on this bone for everybody to have a meal of hypocrisy and malfeasance and bad behavior. And I just think that the president has to be above that and get into the fray at the point in which he actually has data upon which to hang his assumptions. I would like him to not just show up with a half-assed opinion, and that would be a good thing.
It would, but a good thing that happened today, Dr. J, was I hadn't seen this before. Maybe you had. Trump, apparently his U.S. investments, he said back in June he got rid of all of them. So he's not invested in U.S. companies right now, which many would say would be a conflict.
Well, a foreign companies would be a worse conflict.
And there's actually a law, as you may have read as well, Anna, that says that within 45 days, not just the president, but any elected position that can make laws or sign off on them, like a governor or a president, I think it's called the stock law, in fact, you must disclose any stocks that you own within 45 days. I think he sold those positions back in June, more or less raising money for his own campaign.
Right.
That's a major reason.
That's just a piece of his portfolio.
Sure.
I mean,
what
we're really talking about are his own personal business interests.
Real estate is his main portfolio.
Right.
Absolutely.
And his dealings with banks. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And when we talk about real estate, it's not just owning the buildings, though. It's who does he lease to and all that. And you got the Japanese thing. You got Abe coming in. And then next thing you know, the Japanese bank says that they're going to do it. I mean, listen, there are ways of doing this, and maybe it's all totally legitimate and it's good. And I'm glad that there are these jobs coming here. So I don't know. And I'm not going to be like him. I am going to actually keep my powder dry and figure out if this is a good or a bad thing before I start shooting my mouth off.
Okay.
What?
Well, and it's such a long program, as you said, Ro. At first, it seemed like it was one aircraft, because until you looked into it, you actually knew. But until I read into it, I knew about the two aircraft, and then you described the third, which isn't going to be an Air Force One, but another plane as part of the program that they're putting together out there. All of a sudden, if it depends how many airplanes we're talking about as to what the costs are. I know a 747 is $335 million.
Right, and it doesn't have the kind of technology, communications, and all those other things that get spread across.
But it probably doesn't have $3.7 billion worth of technology either. But when you're dividing it by three planes, then it's not $3.7 billion in technology. It's one third of that.
Right.
If one third of that, and then there's developmental costs. And I didn't know that this was all the way out till 2024. When I first saw it this morning either. So until I knew all those different things, you can't really cost it out.
Say. Thank you, John. I appreciate it, man.
So you're absolutely right.
Thank you. I appreciate
until you know the facts.
Until I know. Right. And I'm so often wrong until I know the facts. All right. Dr. J, John Najarian, thank you so much.
Dr. J.
Appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. Have a great one.
You too.
You too.
22 Rules of Investing. He and his brother, Pete. The better-looking Najarian. Don't tell John I said that. All right. Let us now find out from Violetta Podomatic, the better-looking Podomatic.
Oh.
There you go.
Fighting words.
There you go. That's see what she just did there? She did. Oh, really? Oh, Ro.
Well, her sister lives on the East Coast. She went
right.
Hear
this, exactly.
So.
She podcasts us.
No, I call her. I call your sister and go, you're the better-looking Podomatic. Has the WGN Traffic Trouble Spots right now being brought to you by Violetta herself.